Hi, it's Larry Herb, Xbox's Major Nelson. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. Liking, subscribing, doing all those things. We are available on all your modern podcast devices and maybe some not modern ones either. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk some games this week. Let me bring in the gang. We've got Jeff over there on the left and Kelly Lombardi joining us. All right. Hi, Kelly. Good to see you.
Hi. So happy to be here with you both.
Well, it is lovely to have you. You know, I was thinking about
this. Not good to see me.
Well,
not good at all.
I didn't say that, and I don't think Kelly did either.
It's great to see Kelly.
So, what I was looking at was, I don't think Kelly and Jeff have been on in a long time, if at all.
On the show or together?
Together.
We've been on the show together, but it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. So I went back for a few months, and I was like, oh, I haven't been. Anyway, but it's good to see you guys. Welcome back. Yeah. It's lovely to talk some games this week. We had a wild show last week with the game developer conference. I know, Kelly, you didn't go down, and I didn't go down, but Jeff went down, so we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
And you were at PAX, right?
I was at PAX East in Boston.
Like, surprise, here comes Larry. Did you, like, parachute from... You know, your JetBlue
flight. I heard it was a helicopter that dropped him down on a ladder, and then he landed on the roof of the convention center.
Not for the first time.
It was a hot drop. It was definitely a hot drop. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we're going to just jump right into what we're talking about in gaming. And last week with GDC, and we'll talk about that after we talk about what we're playing, is because of the show. It came out on Wednesday last week. I didn't really have any time to play anything. Jeff, and I know you were in GDC, and you're going to talk about some of the games you were able to play, right?
Yeah, there.
So we'll talk about, but we'll start with Kelly, because Kelly was kind of back here in Seattle playing, if I'm looking at your profile, the Diablo beta. Tell us a little bit about that, because it sounds like you had a blast with that.
I'll tell you everything about it. So I conveniently took a week of vacation last week. And so I was home for the weekend and I played the early access beta. And then I went to Vegas on vacation and then came home and played more of the open beta. And so Diablo 3 was just like such a huge part of my life. I played it so much and I've been waiting for 4 for a very long time. And I started for the early access beta, there were 3 classes available. And then for the open beta, there were 5 classes available. So I started as a sorceress because that was what I played the most in D3. And honestly, like, it was harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I played on normal adventure mode, but there wasn't a build that I could get to in 25 levels that made the sorceress feel like OP. There were still some times that I struggled, but it was really fun. So once I max leveled that character, I got a lot of suggestions to switch to the necromancer. And that was really fun because you can like summon a bunch of skeletons. And basically, I just had them do all of my fighting. And then I went around and like collected gold and loot. And I was like, get them, skellies. And then would just like scurry around being like a goblin.
The management class.
Yeah. I was just delegating.
Yeah, delegating.
So okay, that was fun. I leveled up. I max leveled that character relatively quickly. Like that to me, it was
clear,
kind of like
in most betas and whatnot, the leveling system quite isn't flushed out yet. They kind of usually level you up quicker with betas like this. So we'll see what happens.
So
yeah, and you could only.
Who should we be using?
My favorite class, shockingly, was the third one I tried, which is a rogue, and it's more like a crossbow. Range kind of character, and I had so much fun.
Well, that makes sense based on what you just said, because you're able to stay out of the fray and direct your skellies in while you're kind of pop pop.
Well, that
pop,
would be the necromancer, right?
Yeah, but with the rogue, you can like set traps and like create that distance and kind of like from afar just be like, okay, you guys go into the gas trap, I'll be over here. Right. And I didn't reach level 25 with that character, but I would have if I didn't have to go to bed at some point on that Sunday. So, I had a lot of fun with it. One of the things that I really enjoyed was, so you're playing on a server with other players, and in D3, like, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. So I named my sorceress Worm because I thought it would be funny, not realizing that that's how I would appear in
publicly.
Game to everyone else on the server. So I was just like a little worm running around. But there was a world event where you take down, it's kind of like a big boss fight, and everyone on the server collectively, like, attacks this big boss and takes them down. And it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. There were all different classes and levels, and the loot drop at the end was really, really great. I just thought that was a great addition to this version of the game.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of that with Diablo Immortal, where you were running around, you saw other people there. So seeing this on, like, you know, the full on Diablo 4, I missed it. I was at GDC. My brother got married. Very selfish, you know, when it came to scheduling. And so I didn't get to play it. I got home. It was in Canada. I drove home, got home Sunday night. And I was like, I saw it. It was staring at me on the dash. And I was like, let me try it. And it was like, no, you can't download it now. This thing's about to end. And I was like,
it's funny, Jeff, I got back. You mentioned I was at PAX, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I was, I got back as well. And I was like, oh, let me play. I missed the opportunity. So it's just, that's the way it goes.
We got 2 months and 1 week.
Sounds like Kelly played enough for both of us, though.
I literally did. It was a lot. I was late for my friend's birthday party because I was playing, and I was like, sorry, there was a world event. I had to complete it. And he was like, did you? And I was like, I did. Sorry.
I could use that excuse, I guess. Not to jump totally in the news, but since we're on topic, also this week we did announce a Diablo 4 bundle for Xbox Series X. So when Diablo launches on June 6th, you could also pick it up. And if you do buy this bundle, which will be available from participating retailers worldwide, you can also get the Lightbearer mount with Caparison of Faith mount armor included in that bundle. Look, if you were wanting to play on Xbox, you wanted to upgrade to a Series X, you knew you were going to be doing it for Diablo, this thing's available for pre-order now.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Check it. And if you need more information on that, just go to news.xbox.com and they'll have some information up there about that. Kelly, if you don't have anything else that you've played, I mean, we'll just kind of bounce over to Jeff and talk about his.
Are your eye okay? You really shouldn't rub it like that.
No, kind of just, it's a little itchy today.
A little tired. A little sleepy.
I have a fear of eyeballs. So if we could refrain from jamming fingers into eyeballs, that would be fantastic.
Anyway, you know what, Jeff? Why don't you tell us a little about GDC? I'll tell you about PAX. We'll bounce back to you for some of the news. So why don't you roll on GDC? Tell us about that.
Sure. Yeah. So this was sort of like the GDC is back year. GDC did have an in-person element.
Developer conference, for those of you new to industry. Just want to line some stuff up there.
So like many in-person or largely in-person events, it either went digital or took a break over the last couple of pandemic years. And came back a little bit last year. I think it was a smaller version. And then this felt like the GDC is back year. And there was a lot of great things. And while it's mostly for people that are developing games, to meet people, to learn things, it's where people really who are creating the games that we are talking about and we love tell other game developers, here's how I did this. Here's how I tackled this. Here's some cool tech that's coming. And if you're into that, we do have a great developer's website that you should absolutely check that out. And you can learn an awful lot about the tools that are available to you and the types of publishers that we're working with and all kinds of things. And
Well, no, I was just going to say, obviously last week's podcast was all about GDC. Yeah. We talked about all parts of it, but there's so much more than we just.
But there is more of a consumer facing element that's there. So I got to go to a number of events, some of which are embargoed, and you'll hear about those types of things later. Because while you've got a group of media there, some publishers are like, well, you know, why don't we show you some stuff? And one of the things we've always done. And it was great for it to be back, is to put a bunch of ID at Xbox games in front of media and creators who are around. And while I'm there, I'm going to play them too. And what's really cool is you're not just playing the game, you know, in a demo situation, but the person who made the game is literally sitting right next to you, which is a little bit nerve wracking. I don't know if you've ever been to like one of those sushi places where if you sit at the counter, they make the piece and they put it right in front of you. And then I'm like, are you going to watch me eat this? And I have to make a face that pretends that I really like, I generally do like it, but if they give me the sea urchin, I'm like, how do I distract them? Because I'm not a huge fan and I got to give that to my wife or something. So a little bit of that, a little bit of nerve wracking, but I played four games that I was really into. I wrote about them on Xbox Wire. I will speed run these real quick. One of them, Botany Manor. This one really reminded me of The Witness in terms of those vibes. And a little bit also of Escape Academy. So two sort of like first person puzzle type games, super chill. You're navigating this English countryside manor, but the puzzles are actually plants. And so at the beginning of sort of like each sort of section, you end up with a seed and you have to figure out, how am I going to make this thing grow? And you use context clues that you find from around the area. And you know, one of them needed heat and I needed to figure out where it was from and the type of heat that it likes. And how do I even, oh, here's a thing that generates heat. Well, is this the right temperature? And then it grew and then it ended up doing a thing and it unlocked an area and I was able to move on. And very chill experience, but also just very satisfying when you figure these things out. So something I'll be keeping an eye out for, it's called Botany Manor. Another one was called Planet of Lana. This was an awesome game that was described by the person working there, like if Studio Ghibli made Inside.
I'm listening.
Yes, Inside by Playdead, like kind of an all-time classic. But, you know, Planet of Lana, a lot more colorful than that area. But you're playing a young girl named Lana whose world is invaded by like these mechanical aliens, and this little alien cat-like creature is with you, and there's certain things you can do and there's certain things the little cat-like creature can do named Mui, and between the two of you, you're figuring out puzzles and navigating your way around enemies because you're not going to like attack them directly, but you can use the environment. Beautiful game. It is made by a group of Swedish animators. This is their first game ever. Beautifully animated, like immediately grabbed your attention. The backgrounds reminded me kind of like Ori in certain ways, like how just you could just sit there and have Ori stand still and watch the background move.
Nice depth of field.
I got a lot of that out of Planet of Lana. I'm a hand talker, Larry. I'm well animated too. Thank you. That's great. Space. All right. If there's a game out of this that was like made for me, it was Lamplighters League. This is a game that was announced a couple weeks ago. I think we talked about it on the show. This is made by Harebrained Schemes. They've been around for a long time. They made the Shadowrun trilogy.
Some of the founders used to be here at Microsoft.
Yeah, the studio is in Seattle, which is really Mitch Gittleman. Cool.
I've had Mitch on the show quite a bit, so he should get him back on the show.
We absolutely should. If we were to shorthand this one, we would say it was XCOM meets Indiana Jones. But it reminded me a lot of Mutant Year Zero, which was a strategy game, strategy RPG that was turn-based. But in between the battles, you actually controlled in real time. So you chose when you got to go into battle. You could even like take some folks out in real time, like quietly, and then you wouldn't even go into battle and you could sort of skip that part. And so that sort of mix of real time and tactics, like, totally worked for me. It was just awesome. I finished the demo and I was like, I could have kept going for some time. And the last one I want to talk about is Venba. Is another puzzle game. If Botany Manor is a puzzle game based on plants, Venba is a puzzle and story game based on cooking. And so you're reading these recipe pages and figuring out how to make this Indian cuisine. It was food that I was not familiar with and how to cook. And I'm ready to make some idlis now. I think I figured it out.
Can't you just go to the kitchen and play it in IRL? I mean, isn't that what you're doing?
Larry, couldn't you go outside and throw football around instead of watching the NFL? I mean, sure.
In cooking sims, there's no cleanup after, which is a big upside for me. So thank you. I try not to get in the middle when my parents fight, but I am on Team Jeff for this one. So.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Cuts, because there was a lot of fine shopping.
All right. Anyway. Now, I want to point out, Jeff. I want to point out, Jeff. The all the games you just mentioned, they're not available now. They'll be coming out in the future, in near future, and far future.
All of them, I think they said, would be out this year. We'll be talking more about them probably on the show.
We'll get some folks on interview.
And what?
We'll get some of the developers on and give them some space right here on this very screen.
But they were all exciting for very different ways. And that's the beauty of GDC, is that you really independent development really takes is in the driver's seat during that show.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about like a Gamescom or a Game Awards or something like that, like it, you know, the big games tend to stand out more, even though you will have indie games there. This really allowed it. I also got to play Lies of P, which was just like chef kiss. It is coming together so well. It was so impressive.
Remind people what that is.
Yeah, this is a Soulsborne game where you're playing Pinocchio, and it is made by a development group. Not the Pinocchio you remember. Because
that's not where I saw this going, by the way.
Yeah, you can disconnect your arm and replace it with a flamethrower. I missed that. It's been a long time since I've seen Pinocchio, so maybe. But it really does like tap into certain elements.
But if he's a wooden boy, he's going to burn himself.
Well, you got to be real careful with that, much like when you're making your cooking in real life. So, you know, if you handle it right, it's going to be fine. Anyway, the game, I was watching Arthur Geese, who works for Wirecutter, and he was very good at this game. It was a very expansive demo, like literally like hours of this game were ready, taking on bosses. And let me tell you, this is going to be a big one.
And is that coming out this year, did you say?
That is coming out, and it's coming day one to Game Pass.
Yeah, there we go. Good to see that. We're talking a little bit, you know, is that all you have from GDC, Jeff? Because I know it was top level.
That's what I got all for GDC.
As we talked about earlier, I headed out a last minute trip to PAX East in Boston, which is the area that both Kelly and I are from. Jeff is a little bit further down the pike in Philadelphia.
Did you have a coffee milk while you were there?
I did not. Well, I did not because I was
supposed when we were on the show last talking about this.
That's right. I was supposed to go
that's
to my.
That's right. And party pizza.
Party pizza. I was supposed to go down to my sister's house in Rhode Island, but I wasn't able to go down there. She was busy, so she couldn't see me. So thanks, Sue. But it was a great time to hang out. We did a community event at a barcade right off the Commons in Boston. It's opposite from where the Cheers bar is on the opposite side.
Did you park your car near the Cheers bar?
We did. We parked it over there in the car. We parked the car around the corner. It was great to go there, and it was kind of a last minute thing where we were, our events team, they were experimenting. We brought some of the Oreo cookies out, the ones from Europe. It's the only place you can get them. So we gave some of those away. We gave some Game Pass buddy passes away for those Game Pass subscribers that want to get a buddy on. They could do that. So we gave that away, and we just hung out and took pictures and played pinball, and skee ball was there, which is always fun. It was just a lot of fun. So that we're gonna try to find other events. What we're gonna do is we'd like to bring maybe the podcast out and do maybe if it's not PAX, it's somewhere else. So if you have any idea where you want us to take the show and do a kind of a fan fest, drop it in the comments on YouTube for this show. We'd love to. We'll take a read that and I'll send it over to our events team. But it was great to be there. We'll walk the show floor. I was only able to be on the show floor on Friday, but it was filling up quite nicely.
I just reading it some replies to, you know, you posting about being there. Do the UK based or the European Oreos hit different is what I
read. My understanding is they don't have
hit different.
They do in that they don't have high fructose corn syrup.
Okay.
So that's my understanding. I have a role over there.
You should do a live taste test and let me know.
Nah, so I don't know.
Jeff and I for science need to try them as well.
Okay. We can make that happen. Yeah. But anyway, so it was fun to be in Boston for a few days, and then I saw my family and then turned around and came right back and missed the Diablo beta. So it was well planned on my half.
Excellent. Larry, I don't know if you remember this, but speaking of events and like I think people know that events just have a special place in my heart. Like, I don't think that there's anything better than just like being around the energy of a gaming event and convention and like, and to Jeff's point, like finding games that you might not have discovered if you hadn't gotten like hands on with them, and just being able to appreciate the work that some smaller developers do. But one of my favorite memories was when we were in San Diego. And I was working on Tomb Raider at the time, and we hosted an event offsite where we made people eat live bugs for a chance to win prizes.
Was that your event? I remember that event.
And we invited you, and you came, and we made you hold a snake. And I have a picture in my phone of you and Camilla Luddington, who voiced Lara Croft and is also on Grey's Anatomy. And you guys are standing next to each other holding snakes. And it popped up in my phone memories the other day, and I laughed out loud because I was like, I don't know if Larry remembers me. Yes, inviting him to this event. Where we
How did you find that so quick?
You got to know how to search.
Is that your desk, your wallpaper on your
desk? No.
I mean, if you search snake, I'm sure there's not that many photo options that pop up. But it was a really great time. And I was like, I wonder if Larry's the one, if he remembers, I was one that invited him to this event and was like, there's a snake, hold it.
I didn't remember it was you, but I remember that amazing event because Camilla, who, as you said, voices, she's so lovely. She came down and she plays games, and we were talking about, you know, holding the snakes, and you know, you have to, Jeff, do you know, you have here, let me show you a little something. I don't know if you remember this, but you have to hold the snake like this. Do you know why? Cause you want to be a tree branch. and you want to let it kind of droop in between you. So you don't want to have it, you don't want to hold it, because otherwise it'll basically squeeze back and the snake will win. So you have to be very careful with how you're holding
it. Use it down in Florida. There's a few pythons.
I don't know if this is going to focus, but we had like, oh my gosh, going the opposite way.
Look what else is, look what else is on this. Go ahead. Whoa. Oh, hold on. Let me go over to you. Hold standby. Bring that back up.
We have like giant, I don't know if it's a boa constrictor or what, but like giant snakes in a human sized like skull pit. That event was crazy, but it was a lot of fun. Shout out to the Square Enix team.
This is another one I have. Check this one out. That's from the same day.
Yeah. Terry, you're having quite a day.
Terry Crews and I are, I don't know what we're doing here. We're just having fun.
So you're holding your own there.
Amazing.
It was a lot of fun. Anyway, thank you for bringing that up. That was a nice little walk down memory lane.
Yeah, right. I was like, I was looking for photos of a coworker that was celebrating something, and I was going through like the gaming photo archives, and it was a trip down memory lane, and that one popped up, and I was like, that was a good trip.
Hey, Jeff. So just to answer your question, I don't know. I can't speak for any other platform because I'm on iOS, but if you go to photos and hit search, then you can type in San Diego, and that's how I got to them so quickly.
I was going to say, because I felt like you're a year of the snake, and if you type in snake, it's just going to be a bunch of portraits.
Nope. If I type in Boston, I mean, the pictures that come up are kind of crazy. But anyway,
the smoothest low-key shade I've ever heard.
I just keep driving right by it. I just keep going. Yeah.
Avoiding the potholes. You grew up in New England. You know how to avoid the potholes. You're well-versed.
Just suck it up and deal with it. Moving right along here, Jeff, we got some news to come up here. We have some hardware news.
Can we just talk about one more game?
Yeah. What do you got?
This one.
Oh, hold on a minute.
Resident Evil 4. That came out this past week. I did get to, when I couldn't get into Diablo, I loaded this up. Always good to start at night. I'm not that far into it, but oh man, this remake is so good.
I got to download this. I haven't had a chance. Yeah, it's not on Game Pass.
I think you would really like it, Larry.
Okay.
Knowing that you are a horror game guy, I think you're finally coming to grips with this. And there's one thing I want to talk about, because I did this in Village too. And there's definitely sort of, I don't want to say, I feel like Village in many ways was a bit of a spiritual successor to Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 famously, in the first level, you end up in this village, you're completely besieged by these, I think they're called Ganados. And then like this dude with the chainsaw comes out, and it's like, it's tough. Yeah. Like for a first level, it's definitely up there. And, pro tip, if you go to the left, there's a building with two stories. There's a shotgun on the top. I didn't realize that I died several times. And playing on like default level. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to drop this down a level. And I did that in Village 2. The game was just as scary, and I ended up enjoying it. So like normalize playing a game on, I think it was, it's called, I don't remember what it's called. It's not called easy, but it's effectively whatever. Normalize doing that, because now I'm having a much better time. I'm not worried about every single bullet. The jump scare.
So story mode. You're playing story mode.
But yeah, I mean, okay, yeah,
that's fine.
I'm having a heck of a time with
it. You find any joy you can, any way you can, Jeff. I will not stand in your way and throw you shade.
Thank you. Well, I just feel like at first I was like, oh, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm playing on an easy level.
But no,
like, no, that's completely acceptable. And I feel like there's sort of like this get good discourse too often, and I don't think it's healthy. So I just wanted to let everyone know I'm enjoying
it. I will tell you, I am on that team as well. You know, life is too short, and we're all, depending upon where you are in your life cycle, I have too much going on in my life.
I'm in the pupa stage.
But I have, I don't think so, but I have, you know, I have the same situation where I'm like, let me play this and I'll try a little bit of a game on a like a default or default minus one. But sometimes I'll just go down, I'm like, oh, let's do story mode so I can enjoy the story and go through the gameplay and just enjoy the production. So thank you for that PSA.
Sometimes like time wise, you want to experience a game, but you don't have the time to like really grind on a higher level. Right. And I was playing something on like super easy mode the other day, and a message popped up and it was like, you seem to know what you're doing. Like, do you want to up the difficulty? And I was like, sure don't, but thanks for asking. I was like, have a good day. I'm going to continue on just frolicking through these levels. Appreciate
so it. I am on team story mode as well. There's no shame in story mode. That is the takeaway.
Cut and print.
Okay. Anyway,
let's get into the news here.
Let's get into the first news.
Thing I wanted to talk about with you.
Yes.
It is prop related. Are you ready? Do you have your prop?
Let's take a look.
Do you have one or good prop. Both?
Well, of course, we're making reference to the gloves.
There it is.
Just to let you know,
for those of you on audio, Larry is putting on the white gloves.
And the white gloves, for those of you that are new to the show, usually mean something is about to happen in the hardware space, or I've got something to show off
because coming out of a box.
I want to let things shine. That's
or Larry ASMR. It's going to be one of those things.
Let's be very clear, Kelly. This is not me channeling a clown. I want to be very clear on that. Anyway, Jeff, as you were saying.
Anyway, do you have it? Are you ready to hold it up?
Which one am I holding up, by the way?
Huh?
Which one am I holding up?
It's up to you. I can roll with the punches.
All right, let me see what I got here. Hold on. Let's go full screen on me and we'll go back here. Can actually see them back here.
Oh, they're there.
We're going to go.
There we go.
Here's
love an Easter Elite egg shelf moment.
Controller Series 2 Core, now in red, also available in blue. So we've expanded the core version of the Xbox Elite Series 2 lineup to give gamers more options to play like a pro. Now, you know the core version. It is comes in at a lower price of $139.99, and it is just the controller. But if you want all of the different components, if you want to get the back paddles, if you want the case, if you want the different thumbsticks, all of those things, we also are selling a complete component pack. It is sold separately.
I didn't get one of those.
$99 MSRP. So you decide what you need. If you need those things, then you can get them. But if you just want the controller, you can get that too. Of course, many of those elements are compatible. Like if you already have an Elite Series 2 and you already have other paddles, you might just want the new color. So yeah. Available in blue, available in red, available today.
Yeah. So what are you waiting for? Go out and get your controller on. So I'm thrilled. You know what, Jeff? I've got a little something to share with you. I'm going to keep these on. Keep going through the news because we got something else a little bit later.
Sure. Let's talk about a new game that is out this week. It's a game I heard a lot about last year, coming to Xbox now, called Sifu. Sifu is an interesting game. It's a sort of a martial arts beat 'em up, but it's something where when you die, you come back and you're older. So a very interesting take. And so as you go through the game, like you get older and older and older and you get wiser, but you maybe are not as strong. So some really interesting stuff. We have a conversation about this on Xbox Wire. I've heard really good things about this. This is something that, and something they added, by the way, that I think is great. A lot of people thought the game was too hard. So they have created a less difficult student mode.
Story also, mode, here it is. Enough,
they've added a master mode. So you know what? Everyone gets to get the level of difficulty that they want. I'm definitely going to be checking this out. And there's also a new mode as well. Another game that really has my eyes. I don't know. I don't want to talk about eyes. Sorry about that, Kelly.
Thank you.
A game called Endless Dungeon. So there was a game. E was a really big fan of this game back in 2014, Dungeon of the Endless. This is a spiritual successor to that. And it is a rogue light with tower defense tactics. It looks really good. Again, we've got a full story that one of our writers wrote over on Xbox Wire, but Endless Dungeon is out now. It's priced at only $29.99, or I guess it's available. It's coming out May 18th. I definitely have my eyes on this. And one other game, which is Dredge, which is it turns cozy fishing into cosmic horror. And this one looked really cool. I want to say it was revealed, some point last year. It was announced, and it has like a New England, storms are coming kind of like aesthetic. There we go. But has
oh my God.
I
didn't
think I'd get to use that terrible Boston accent twice. My uncle who just moved to New Hampshire, I'm sure.
Well, that's even a better accent. I'm in New Hampshire.
Yes, exactly. I think he's in Manchester. Is that what you would
you
say?
You and I have been there, haven't we?
I think so.
When we went to visit Ralph.
That's right. Ralph Baird, the inventor of video games, which was
may he rest in peace.
An awesome experience. Anyway, Dredge is available now at only $24.99 and looks really cool.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, there's one other news piece, but I know we wanted to use that to segue into the interview. There's two parts
to this news piece, right?
Yes.
Well, we've got the news and then we have the hardware. So why don't you give the news and then we'll go to the hardware.
The news we're talking about Forza Horizon 5's Rally Adventure is available now. This definitely has my interest. We're returning to Mexico with a rally-themed update. It's a new area, Sierra Nueva, six new biomes, and there's some new I'm very excited about this car, the electric Ford F-150 Lightning Platinum. I am a big fan of electric cars. It's always nice to be able to use them in Forza. And this is one that I've actually been in this car, and I'm very excited to be able to
drive. I've never been in a Lightning.
I would never do in real life for this truck.
Huh? I've never been in a Lightning. I've got to check one out.
Yeah, there's people you know that have one. Not me. Right.
Okay. But that's we're going to have to do an interview with that in just a minute, and Kelly's going to
I won't go too deep into it, because we'll talk about it being better. It just looks really exciting, a different kind of racing coming to Forza in a way that only Horizon could do it.
Speaking of racing, Jeffrey.
Yes.
It's you know, one of the things that people love about racing, it's so different, but sometimes, you know, sometimes controllers, you know, the sticks just are a little more difficult, because you're not driving a car with a stick usually. But it's we have
not in this day and age,
not in this day, but we have a new piece of hardware. Jeff, could you walk us through what this thing is? Because it's quite fascinating.
I don't have the info. You've got it. So why don't you,
Well, it's actually in the notes there if you want to pull them up. This is the brand new Thrustmaster eSwap XR Pro controller. Now this is, you can see it's got Forza Horizon 5 kind of going on up here, but this is really interesting. Let me pop this open. This is modular. What that means?
You can experience incredibly immersive racing with the gamepad.
Yep,
thanks to the brand new racing wheel.
Yep. Modular. So look at this. Look at you. Ready? Let me blow your mind. Check this out. Are you okay? You watching?
All right. Can your controller do this?
What?
Larry, you're just ripping things off of it.
And now I'm gonna put in a little wheel. Look at this. It's a little wheel. So I pull the wheel
out.
That
is so cute.
And I take the wheel out. And I can now
go in other places,
Jeffrey. Of course it can. Look, the wheel's now over here.
It sounds easy, but I'm sure designing it was incredibly challenging.
Look at this.
Look at that.
That's and so it's cool. Non-slip too, right? So when you're like sweaty gaming,
it's got a little. It's got a little
less of a chance to crash.
Yeah, it's, you know what you kind of. It's kind of got a, like a little leather thing around, kind of like maybe your grandma has on her car. You know, the thing around the wheel.
It's also got. Reading there's a. It's got mechanical buttons, which are 64%. Faster than standard membrane-based buttons, while tested under laboratory conditions. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of configurations that you can do. It's called hot swap technology, where you can move the D-pad, you can move the sticks around in any particular way that you would like. Which is called the racing wheel module, is very much a very unique thing.
I just took two of the modules out. The D-pad's a little more challenging to get out because it's slick. But you can put this.
Want to move it anyway.
You can put this wheel module anywhere you want. You can see all the modules. I'll show you the wheel module versus the stick module. I mean, obviously the modules are the same. That's why you can swap them in and out.
Mm-hmm. Why it's called the eSwap XR Pro Controller Forza Horizon 5 mm-hmm. Edition.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Does it have on there when it's going to be available? I think it's coming out soon.
I am looking for that. It is made by Thrustmaster. You can find it over on thrustmaster.com.
Yep, we'll find that out and we'll come back to you on the other side of the interview and let you know. It's also fully customizable. You can see it right here.
You can buy it now is what it says.
Get on it. Get on it. Anyway, we're going to talk about Forza Horizon. We've got some Age of Empires. Kelly, do you have a moment there? Can you bring us into the interview so we can get things going here?
Yeah, of course. We actually have two super fun interviews, like you mentioned. One with the Forza Horizon team to talk more in depth about the Rally Adventure update that we have. We have Chris and Kelly joining us. And then we have a really cool interview about Age of Empires with Alex. So make sure that you... stay tuned. Check them out because they're going to be awesome.
Forza Horizon 5 fans, you're going to be excited now. The Rally Adventure mode is coming. It's now available, actually, depending upon when you're listening to this podcast. It is now available. I'm excited today to talk to some folks from the team. We are going to let's bring everybody in here right now. I'm going to bring up the let everybody know. Kelly Boyle's over on the left. Chris Phillips is on the right. Kelly, you're one of the producers. Chris, you work on cars. Kelly. Let's get started with you first. Tell us about this downloadable content.
Yes, so Forza Horizon 5 is bringing a new expansion out, so the second expansion. It's going to have a brand new location with a brand new map, and it's supported with a rally campaign, which is super exciting.
For those folks, I mean, people know, you know, Forza Horizon 5. Rally is something that maybe I know a lot of the hardcore, you know, racing fans do, but the more casual folks may not know what rally is. They've heard this term. They've seen the cars out, you know, in the wilderness. How would you describe rally, you know, in terms of what it means for car fans?
I guess it will be bringing kind of a really Horizon rally experience together. So we've got a co-driver that will follow you in a helicopter. We've got rally calls on the kind of the hood. We've got split time. We've just got kind of like everything that Horizon does so well. But with a rally experience. So yeah, we've got different types of rally races. So we've got asphalt, dirt, and kind of really hard night races as well. So yeah, all the best stuff we do in a rally experience.
And I want to talk about that. How come your team, and Chris, we're going to get to you in a second because you're going to talk about all the cars we're going to be driving, but so sit tight. But how did the team decide to focus the second Forza Horizon 5 downloadable content around the rally experience? Tell us about that if you would.
So I think the team's really excited about Rally, and we obviously have a history of Rally. We have Forza Horizon 1. And I think it'd be good to pass to Chris soon because he kind of even experienced that and helped make the first Rally expansion. So I think I'll pass over to Chris for this one.
All right, Chris, go ahead. Tell us a little bit about why.
Cheers, Kelly. Yeah, rallying's kind of in Playground's DNA. A lot of the staff here have previously worked on rallying games. There's a huge kind of following for Rally. As Kelly said, we did an expansion on the first Horizon. I was fortunate enough to work on that. I've worked on every Horizon. So yeah, for me, bringing Rally back and kind of that Horizon wrapper, as Kelly spoke about, is super exciting.
I mean, that's really cool because, again, what's lovely about Horizon is we have this incredible collection of cars in beautiful environments. You're not just on a track. You're going through backyards. You're going across beaches. You're going over mountains. There's everything that's involved in the Forza Horizon experience. Chris, I want to talk about you're responsible for, you know, as it says here, the cars. So tell us about what it means to be the vehicle director, because that sounds like a pretty plum job, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it is a fun job. essentially, I kind of both select cars for the game. I'll decide what's going in the expansions, what's going out in our series updates, work with manufacturers on new stuff they've got coming through. So a lot like the Ford F-150 Lightning that's on the kind of key art, the hero art imagery for Rally Adventure. We work with the OEMs on what's coming to try and align it to great content we can put that on.
I mean, you get to decide what we're going to drive in so many regards and kind of do that, you know, make that choice. So that's a big role. Kelly, back over to you as in your role, what you must look across all of these teams, but how do you really look at what the team wants to deliver and what the core tenets are, especially around this experience?
Yeah, so in game design, we kind of have a big focus on features and kind of what is fun. And then we'll work with teams like Chris, that will have like new cars coming to the game. How can we integrate them really well with our features? And all the different teams come together to make a whole. So we'll have audio, cinematics, and all that experience then makes the features even better and kind of makes the gameplay even more fun. I think one to call out in the Rally expansion is the world feels really alive because of that. So we've got the helicopter following you, which was like really engineering and animation heavy. We've got the kind of great videos. Yes, exactly this. We have one of my favorites is when you first start a race, you'll have a little character saying like 3, 2, 1, and then he'll like run off the side of the road. So yeah, all the different teams have come together to kind of really make it feel alive.
Yeah, I mean, and it really has come alive. One of the things I noticed is it expands the campaign a little bit. Forza Horizon 5, it's, you know, it's about the festivals. Tell us about the campaign expansion and what players can expect there.
Yeah, so similar to kind of Hot Wheels, you'll have an expedition out into Horizon Badlands. So this will take you to the brand new map, the brand new location. You'll have a few really cool drives out to get to the Badlands kind of outpost. So this is the new outpost. And then you'll be working through a campaign that's three teams. So we've got kind of like Horizon Raptors, which is the dirt racing, which is with Alex. We've got Apex Predators, which is with Alejandra, which is kind of more asphalt focused. And then we have our Night Races, which is the Grit Reapers team with Rami. And together you'll work through these teams, kind of picking one, working through with them, then joining another. And eventually you'll kind of have what we kind of internally call boss battles, but it's champion races. And once you've beat every champion, you'll then go to a big finale that's the Goliath to become the Badlands champion.
So there's a lot going on here. The one thing I do want to point out is played a little bit of the video and people have seen this in the trailer, and that's what we've been showing, is this rally adventure takes place in the Sierra Nueva region, which is different than Forza Horizon 5's Mexico. Tell us why you decided to kind of go in a different area, if you would.
So I think one of the best things about expansions is experiencing a new world, a new map. You get to do all the things you love again. So the road discovery is one of my favorites. But we've got loads of new biomes in this area. So we've got an entirely smashable forest, which is super fun to drive through. You just kind of see all the trees smashing around you. We've got an abandoned quarry. And one of the coolest ones, I think, when you first start out, you're in a giant crater. So the outpost is in a crater, right, which is really cool. So yeah, just all the usual beautiful kind of Horizon world, but with new, brand new routes, kind of brand new environment. Yeah.
Chris, I want to talk about the key new vehicle upgrades that are available with Rally Adventure. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're bringing a couple of new upgrade types and then some kind of visual parts as well. So rallying, anyone that knows rally knows rally cars make a lot of like pops and bangs and spit fire out their exhausts. And that's something called anti-lag. It's a system that reduces turbo lag, so how quickly the turbo comes on boost and makes power. So we're bringing that as an upgrade. So you'll get all the kind of fire coming out the exhaust, amazing audio from our audio team as well. And that's going to be available to, I think, just over 630 cars will have access to that upgrade. Wow. Which is huge. And then another one along those lines, we've got something we've called internally taller tires, which is for like pickup trucks and SUVs. The actual in-game name is tire profile upgrades. So you can make your tires bigger, which is something that's a really common upgrade on pickup trucks. It makes them look better, also makes them perform better off-road. So we've added that. And then lastly, we've added to 25 cars a load of visual parts. So all the cars are now what we call the rally buckets. So essentially rally cars going from actual proper like race cars all the way through to things like Subaru Impreza, stuff like that, road cars. They're getting new upgrades, so it's things like a bash bar on the front of them. In fact, you just see in the video there the fire coming out of that last car, that's the anti-lag. So you get things like bash bars, lights on the hood, mud flaps, that kind of stuff, so you can really build your own rally monster as well.
That's kind of, again, Forza Horizon has always been about customization. We can put different liveries on. So this kind of takes it to a completely separate level because you're getting ready for, you know, you're getting ready for your rally experiencing. You know, I hate to ask this, Chris, but I have to. Do you have a favorite car? Kelly, I'm going to ask you too. Do you have a favorite car for the rally adventure?
I do. It's hard to pick favorites. I say this all the time. I think my favorite's probably the Hoonigan Scumbug, which is a VW Beetle that was built by the Hoonigan guys. I think it's a class 5 Beetle, which is a class for Baja. Uh-huh. It just has the coolest livery on it. It's orange with this really retro livery. It drives incredibly well. In fact, I think the second race you do in Rally Adventure is using it on a route that it was just made for. So I'd probably say it's the Scumbug for me.
All right, Kelly, I have to ask you because, you know, I know you've been playing this. So tell us what your favorite vehicle is.
I was really worried that Chris was going to say it, but luckily mine's the Colin McRae Focus. And I'll also really enjoy bringing just all the Hoonigans to the new map because that's my favorite bucket of cars. So.
Yeah. You know, people are, you know, it's, as we talked about a moment ago, it's available right now to download and check it out. The Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure. Tell us, you know, Kelly, for those of us that are just getting into it and they're just getting in, where should we go to kind of get started? Where I'm looking to you as our, and Chris also as well, our tour guide. But Kelly, tell us where we should kind of, what's one of the first couple of things we should do?
Yeah, so as you land in, you'll experience the kind of first few races in a really structured manner, but then you'll get opened up to kind of pick a team. So I'd really focus in on a team of the driving style you love. Do you love asphalt racing? Do you want to experience the night races? And then that will kind of guide you into the races of that style. You can kind of take side paths, do PR stunts, do collectibles, all the usual stuff everyone loves about Horizon. Yeah.
All right, Chris, what about yourself? Where should some folks, based on your experience, where should we lean into?
So for me, it's the second I'd get in there. I'd probably do the first race, Devil's Pass. You'll also get the Ford Focus that Kelly likes. And then I'd drive the roads. This is maybe the best road network our level design team's ever created. I've spent hours at home playing it, just driving around the world. It is an incredible driving experience with some of the most technical roads we've ever made. It really makes you think about how you're driving, like how you're going to rotate the car into corners and things like that. So for me, just check out the roads. They are spectacular.
I want to talk about something you just said, technical roads. What does that mean? Like, does this just mean how they're designed? Or I'm fascinated by that comment.
Yeah, so rallying tends to be on kind of really twisty little roads and also very bumpy roads. I mean, they're actual roads, they're not racetracks. And with that, anyone that's driven down a road knows there's potholes, there's like road edges you've got to be careful of. And that kind of brings a real different driving style where you have to think about where you're placing the car. It's not always about the best racing line. It's about the line that's not dangerous. It's not the one that's going to flip the car over or rip the suspension off. And then on top of that, in Rally Adventure, our level design team's gone in and thought about, well, the player's braking here. How can we make this more challenging? And they've put bumps in the road. And right where you want to turn in, there might be a bump or a crest. So you start to learn, okay, well, I can't turn in where I think I should turn in. I have to rethink this. Do I turn in after the bump, before the bump? Do I get the car to rotate over that bump?
Right.
It's a completely different approach to driving, and one that it's really intoxicating getting stuck into, and you'll keep doing routes as you start to learn more and more about it. And kind of playing into that as well, one of the features we've got, the driving line, so the blue line that we draw for the player is kind of a staple for accessibility in the game. But because we have pace notes, we've added an option where in the Horizon Rally mode, you can turn that off. So it's just you, the pace notes, and a road trying to figure out the best way down that road using the pace notes. And it's a very kind of lean in experience that you're just going to keep going back to.
All right, Chris, you're going to keep dropping these terms. I'm going to keep pushing back on you. Tell me about pace notes. What are pace notes? I mean, I can kind of figure it out and I think I know what they are, but some folks may not know what those are.
Yeah, so if you've ever watched a video of any rallying, there's always somebody calling out what's coming up ahead. Typically, it's an incredibly technical language that not many people understand. So Horizon's take on it is to make that more accessible. But it'll tell you how severe the corner coming up is. Is it an easy left, an easy right, or is it a hard left? Is it a hairpin? And that'll be called out for what's coming up ahead of you. As Kelly mentioned earlier as well, the co-driver in Horizon's in the helicopter. And that was actually a conscious choice. Not every car in Horizon has a passenger seat. So we had to think about that. You couldn't always have a co-driver. So we decided they'd be in the helicopter, and it also makes for an incredible visual thing as this helicopter's kind of flying around ahead of you. And at night, the spotlight's on you and ahead of you as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing I love is the fact that we saw some of that in the video was the night driving. Kelly, you know, I'm going to let you guys go in just a minute, but my last question I want to talk about is this is the second DLC, the Rally Adventure. It's really the highlight for Forza Horizon 5. What is working on the game at a whole meant to you?
It's just, it's so good. I think I want to call out the team at this point. Like, everyone's put so much love into this expansion, so much thought has gone into each feature, like Chris says with the helicopter. How can we make this the best expansion ever? How can we make it super accessible and kind of just add the features everyone loves?
Yeah, I mean, that's Forza Horizon 5 has always been one of those games when people sit down, it's not only is it beautiful, you know, it always has an extraordinary soundtrack. You're always like, oh, I want to hear that again. And you go add it to your Spotify or your music playlist. Beautiful vistas. It kind of just checks all these great boxes. And then I get to invite friends in and we get to race. So there's just so much fun with this game. Chris, tell us what it's been like to work on this franchise for you. I mean, as working on, I mean, you're kind of at the heart with the cars are such an important part of this. They're characters in their own right, aren't they?
Yeah, it's amazing. As I mentioned earlier, I've been fortunate enough to work on all the Horizons. So it, yeah, it's just been amazing. It's a Forza a franchise I grew up with, so being able to work on it for this long is incredible. And as Kelly says, with the team we've got as well, it's absolutely incredible. And then for Rally Adventure, for me, going back to revisit Horizon 1, we did the Horizon 1 anniversary last year. And that kind of got us all like looking back at that game as well. So it was really nostalgic to go back, look at what we did there, and how could we improve it? How can we make it better? How can we make it kind of something fitting for Horizon 5?
Well, first of all, I have to congratulate you. It's always, you know, great to ship a game and then ship downloadable content like this. So congratulations to each one of you. And I know there's many, many folks behind you on the teams that help us out with that. So I want to thank you, Kelly Boyle, senior game designer, and Chris Phillips, the vehicle director. Love that title. Forza Horizon 5 Rally Adventure now available. Go check it out. There's no reason not to. We've got a ton of fun to rip through these brand new environments. I want to thank you both for joining us today. And any final words before we go, Kelly, you want to say anything before I let you go?
Thank you for having me. It's great to be on the show.
Pleasure. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I hope yourself and everyone else enjoys Rally Adventure.
Age of Empires has a free play weekend this weekend, depending upon when you're listening to the podcast. If you're one of those early adopters and grabs it Friday morning, it's happening now. Alex O is here from the World's Edge. Alex, you are one of the senior producers on World's Edge, and World's Edge is the studio here at Microsoft that produces Age of Empires, correct?
That's correct.
Well, yeah, first of all, welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Haven't had you on before, so this is it's always great to get new folks. First of all, before we get into Age of Empires, let's talk about your journey in the games industry. It's always interesting to talk to new people and how they found their way into the games industry. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually started in the game industry as soon as I came out of college. And my first game was one of the Call of Duty games that some of you may have already played. Yeah.
you're dropping that right off the top. So that was one of the first games you worked on.
Yeah. First game dropped in was Call of Duty. And, it's definitely did a few of those titles. And then eventually, actually, I worked at Naughty Dog for a little bit as well before I came to Microsoft. It's absolutely great over here. I definitely worked on a large number of projects at Microsoft on, all over the world. It's fantastic experience working on gaming. So.
But now you're working out of Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition. It's on the console now, which, it launched about a month ago, a little bit over a month ago, I believe.
Yep.
Going quite well. Everyone seems to really enjoy it. But we've got a free play weekend. And again, depending upon when you're listening to the show, it's happening pretty much right now, or it already happened. So that's why you need to download.
It should already have happened. Yep.
I'm going to play some video while you and I are talking about it, but tell us what people should do. Kind of the first thing, Age of Empires, if they're new to the franchise or new to this style of gaming, what should they do to kind of like, oh, let me go check this out and see what it's all about?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the first things that we did when designing the Age of Empires 2 for Xbox is to create a new tutorial. Like, we assumed that a lot of our Game Pass players and also our brand new players on Xbox never played Age of Empires before. Or maybe you've seen it, you've heard of it, but you forgot how to play.
Right.
So we actually created a completely new tutorial that's geared towards someone who's never played this before. We ran through a number of usability tests on this as well to make sure that, it actually works for the right audience. And that would be a great entry point into the game. And once you get through that tutorial, you feel free to explore some of the more in-depth tutorials or just go straight to campaign. Like, some of our lower difficulty campaigns are quite enjoyable, even for absolute beginner. And then you can start building up your skill from there.
And that's actually what I was showing here just a minute ago. This is what you're seeing if you're watching this on YouTube or on Spotify video. We're seeing some gameplay right now. This is actually multiplayer because there's a multiplayer component to this as well. Alex, you mentioned with your journey into, to working on the Age of Empires and here to Microsoft, you worked on Call of Duty, which everybody knows their multiplayer, certainly their single player. But and then you went to Naughty Dog and now you're here. How is this multiplayer different? Clearly, this is not a fast twitch multiplayer. This is a completely different beast, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very different beast. I would say one of the things that we definitely tried to do with the Xbox version is we wanted to make the player focus more on the strategic aspect of multiplayer as opposed to the micromanagement. You know, for those who played RTS, real-time strategy games before, you know how much micromanaging there is in competitive games. Like, it can get very chaotic. There's so many things to control, so many things to do. And one of the things I really appreciate from Age of Empires is that we generally have less emphasis on that and more emphasis on, you know, what you're doing or what kind of units to build, where your positioning are, and just, you know, general strategy. That's what we want to focus on and not necessarily on control. So for the console version, we actually double down on that and say, hey, like, what can we do within the game itself to try to make it even more accessible, more automated, more easier to manage your units so that you can, again, put more emphasis on the strategic elements.
And that, when you say all those things, that equals more fun, right? Because that's at the end of the day, that's what it's all about.
That people like strategy. I mean, strategy game is very common and it's popular everywhere. Then that's the aspect we definitely want to focus on.
You know, we talked, we're showing a little bit of the UI here. And one of the big stories was adapting the user interface, the UI, from PC, which is point and click and has a keyboard, to the controller. Tell me a little bit about what the team did to optimize that for the console gamer, because that is no small feat.
Yeah, it's quite a challenge. In fact, one of the first things our team did was we just took the PC game and just plopped it right into Xbox and see how it worked. And it wasn't great. It was playable, but as you can imagine, it does not feel like a native Xbox experience.
Right.
So one of the things we did tell the team is like, hey, let's not look at this as a port. Like, this is not a port. What we want to do is we want to make a real-time strategy game for Xbox and start thinking from there of, okay, here's what we want to accomplish. What is the correct way on a controller to get it done? Like, don't even think about the PC. Just think about the objective and then start designing from that. So that's how we thought about all the UIs, all the controls and everything. Just what is the right thing to do on a controller?
Right. And again, you've set it up. You frankly set up people that haven't played real-time strategy games for success, because you've got the tutorial. You've optimized things for the controller on the console. And now, I mean, it's available in Game Pass, but if you're not a Game Pass subscriber, but I think if you listen to this podcast, you probably are. But if you're not a Game Pass subscriber, you can, it's a free play weekend. And what does that mean? I mean, there's actually some cool stuff happens. You can save some money on it too, can't you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's for those of you who want to continue playing the game in the future, absolutely go get Game Pass or purchase a game at a $15 off on this weekend, which is a fantastic deal on already a very, very good price for the game. And you get the whole package. Like, this weekend, just go and play. Single player, multiplayer. There's no restriction on the contents. Everything we have to offer. All of our campaigns, which I doubt you'll be able to get through many of them in a single weekend, but if you can, let us know. But absolutely jump on multiplayer, play with your friends. One thing that, you know, we're very proud of that we spent a lot of effort on is support of crossplay with PC players.
Tell me about that.
From the very beginning, that is one of the key objectives we placed on the development. We wanted Xbox player to be part of the existing Age of Empire community. We don't want to just have a separate group of people on the console. They play on themselves. They don't have anything to do with the PC group. No, they're all part of the same family.
Right.
Which means a number of challenges. First of all, any update that we have on the PC, new contents, new balance changes, it has to apply on the console at the same time. So everybody has to be on the same level. Support keyboard and mouse gameplay on the console. You know, if you're one of the Xbox players that have a keyboard and mouse, plug it in and you will have the familiar PC interface right back and be able to play just like PC. And of course, if you choose not to play with the PC players, that you wanted to play with your console buddy, just you can do that. Like, crossplay is definitely optional. You can turn it on and off.
And again, to your point, it's not just there's multiplayer is there, but if you just want to play in your single player mode, you can go through and have some fun on it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Free play weekend. I mean, Age of Empires is a franchise that's been around for so long at Microsoft, and you know, Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition. It's so great to have it on console. I hope you guys are working on other things, because it's great to see the reception that this style of game has on the console. It's got to be great to see that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Our studio is busy with a lot of very cool content coming up. You all heard about, we already announced the Age of Empires 4 for console that's coming in the distant future.
Yep.
Or maybe not so distant, depending on your perspective. But before that, we actually have some other cool announcements we'll be making.
So stay tuned for that. Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, it's available. It's a free play weekend right now. And I want to also point out, it's free play on console and it's on PC, right? It's both platforms are free play. So that's the beauty of this.
Yes, yeah, so go get it from the Windows Store. And if you have a Game Pass or if you just want to go try it out, it's all there.
All right. Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition. Alex, really appreciate you coming by from World's Ed. Always great to chat with you. And we'll get you back on again in the future when you have more to talk about. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds great.
Thank you so much to our guests for joining us. I hope that you all enjoyed those interviews. And I'm going to kick it over to Jeff, who has one last thing to chat about with
before
you
we let everybody go.
All right, Larry, what's your favorite part? What's your favorite part about Sea of Thieves? Like, what visually, what like really stands out to you?
You're setting me up here because you know the answer.
I'm not setting you up. I just think I know what you're going to say.
Well, I am a scuba diver.
Yes.
Which takes place in the water. Right. It is a well-known fact that Sea of Thieves has probably some of the greatest water I've ever seen in a video game.
You didn't let me down here, Larry, because there's a great story over on Washington Post that ran this week by Lewis Gordon, and it talks about how Rare created their water. It also, it's alongside Horizon Forbidden West, which I have but have not played, and the water looks great there too. So, great water. It's something I always notice. Any game I play where there's water, you end up looking at it and it's like, does this water look good or does it not look good? And like Sea of Thieves has always had amazing water. It's really only gotten better.
And I don't know. I have not read the article yet, Jeff. Thank you for bringing it up. I'll tweet it out later.
Please.
It's. I believe I remember talking to the team at Rare. At one point, they had like two or three different artists just for water. And artist deals on how does it look. It's also the physics of the water, making sure that it behaves properly in the tides and the whole routine. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, if you've played Sea of Thieves and you've stood on like the bow of the ship as you're going up and down and you're seeing the waves go, it's just, that's the closest I ever want to get to that. But
and if I remember correctly, there's actually a lot of things they have to do to make it realistic, but there's a lot of things they have to not do to not make sure that it doesn't make you seasick. Right. So it's always a fine line to be the right thing, but it's fine. I mean, there's a certain things that you look at, you know, at least I do video gaming for so long, like we all have, you know, the question is when you get into when you're playing a game, and I'm not saying like this doesn't happen in Sea of Thieves. With Sea of Thieves, you look at the water.
I sent you a link to it, Larry.
Thank you.
Tweet that out or
yeah, I'll put that out there
later. Cause it's just looking at the gifs in the story is like spellbinding.
But I'm just saying, so there's certain things you expect out of video games. One of them, you know, Sea of Thieves, it's about the water because it's about pirates and being on the water. And Jeff, I think, you know, they had last week, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, so this is actually a great segue. They released a documentary, The Sea of Thieves, about the road to that game and how it had its start. And you and I had an opportunity. I remember that was one of the first things we did when you joined the company or early on. Was you and I said, Jeff, let's go. I'm like, where are we going? Just come with me. And we went up to this conference room and we played that build that you see in the documentary, right?
We did. And we have a whole story about that too over on Xbox Wire. And there's actually, they recorded Phil as he was playing it for the first time and he was playing against Kudo. And it's just a fun little clip that's built in on that blog post.
Yeah, so it was, but it's up. But to your point, the water is fantastic, and you expect things out of video games, and you want great water out of pirates. So out of Sea of Thieves. I need to get back. Did I tell you what happened with that game? I got into the game, and I think I mentioned this on the show last week. Is I went into the game and I was like, oh, I need to go because they've completely redone Sea of Thieves with their 5-year anniversary, and I wanted to go check out the new outpost, and I actually spawned there, but I didn't recognize anything. It was really? It was so amazing. So it's really worth getting back into. Did you play a lot of it?
I was talking with someone. Yeah, we should play. I'm a pirate legend. I can carry.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff is not. Mm-hmm. He is. He's let us
down. I'm a pirate jobber.
Come on, get good.
Yeah.
I was talking with someone last night about how fun it is to like revisit a game that has new features that you're discovering for the first time. Like I played so much Sea of Thieves and it's one of my favorite games. And then you load back in and you're like, what is this? Like, what's happening here?
Right.
The same thing happened with Apex Legends where I was like, what's this thing that's going to like do the, it's nice being able to discover things in games that you've already put a lot of hours into.
Right.
Cause it, you know, it feels like you're learning things for the first time.
The beauty of live games. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up. We got to let everybody go. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us this week. Kelly, always great to see you. Thank you for joining us and bringing us a little bit of your Rhode Island flair in here. And Jeff, whatever flair you bring.
The Rhode Island.
I'm always bringing the party pizza.
We have like a wrestling intro for you. Yes.
Anyway, we'll be back next week. We got another great show lined up. We're working on some good interviews, of course, as always. If you have any questions, make sure you hit us up on Twitter. I'll bring that up right now so you can find us.
Rogue. I'm trying to bring it back to Diablo, maybe.
Rhode. Oh, I'll yeah, because you know the state bird is the Rhode Island Red, so Rhode
which
Island
is a,
Rogue
is a bird.
Is
yeah,
funny.
That's right.
All right. Larry's going to cut my mic, so I'll just...
No. I'll let you go, Jeff. All right, gang.
Anyway.
We'll see everybody next week. Thanks for joining us, and hit us up on Twitter. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.